The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga on this chilly, very chilly, 19 degrees out there. So if you're going anywhere, you better start your car, warm it up, because if you scrape, you're still going to see some fog. And the news forecast, I don't know, I'm not very happy with it, but it looks like Tuesday they're calling for 1 to 3 inches of snow. So let's hope it doesn't come. But we have to be prepared. So anyway, we have an all-star here, and she's a Saratoga native, and I've known her since way back. And when I knew her, she was going to school, night school, or no, online. She's been a really hard worker. And that's Nancy Muldoon. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that's okay. Anytime, you know that. I mean, we talk so much outside the show that, you know, I figured we'd do it on the air. This isn't your first time, though, so you're an old guest, you know.
A seasoned guest.
Seasoned guest, yeah. Nancy, when I knew you, you had started
Well, I was Citizen Nancy then.
What's that?
I was Citizen Nancy.
You were Citizen Nancy.
When we first met.
That's right. And but you were going to school.
Empire State College.
To hone your,
yep.
Right, mm-hmm. To hone your writing skills at Empire State College. And, boy, I got to give you credit because you worked hard for that, and it's paying off now.
Yeah, I was the only reporter in Saratoga that probably didn't have a degree. So
right.
As soon as my kid left for college, I went back to school, got my bachelor's in communications, and I have my own website now. Mm-hmm. I don't do Citizen Nancy anymore, but I have a website called Saratoga Field Day, and you can see it at saratogafieldday.com.
Let's go back to Citizen Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do back then? I know you did a lot of blogging.
I interviewed almost everybody in City Hall. Okay. I interviewed a lot of, you know, sort of well-known people in town if mm-hmm. they weren't in politics. I covered a lot of ground. I did it for 5 years. I did quite a lot of writing. I don't know how I got as much writing done as I did.
And I know you got people not upset with you, but I mean, you always went for the
truth. It was definitely an alternative.
Right.
It was.
I mean, you told it like it was.
Yes.
And you didn't hold back anything. And sometimes people, not that you interviewed, because I'm sure they
say they
up.
Want the truth, but that's
well,
not true.
I know. But the people that you interviewed, I mean, gave it to you the way that you wanted it. So otherwise, they just would skirt around the question.
I didn't spin it.
Right.
I didn't spin it.
And that was good. I mean, it was popular. And you know, I mean, if we had a two-hour show, I'd have you on as the, not the gossip columnist, but the Saratoga Springs information person on what's happening. But then you moved on, and you did some various things in between.
Did some freelance, wrote for Saratoga Living Magazine, wrote for Capital Region Living Magazine.
You did a tour business that was very successful and, I mean, well received by the people that used it. I mean,
yeah, it was mostly tourists. I still do it, but now it's sort of a side thing because it's basically a May to October thing. I don't get any tours during the winter time.
Right.
So it's basically, you know, May to October.
Well, one of the things that I like about Inside Saratoga Tours that you brought from there into your writing was not only do you interview people from all sorts of walks of life, but you also write about places that people may not know about that are really neat to visit in locally Right. In the Capital District region.
Like Lavender, the Lavender Farm.
Yeah, talk about.
That's way up there. And
can you talk about some of the things like that?
Well, I think what I'm doing now is people have asked me for years to sell my photographs. So I put together this year a calendar. It's called mm-hmm. Inside Saratoga, the 2020 calendar. It's currently being sold at Northshire Bookstore. It's soon to be sold at the Gideon Putnam gift shop. And the other place it is, too, is the History Museum in Congress Park.
Well, that's nice.
There's a couple calendars there. So if anyone's interested in getting somebody an inexpensive holiday gift that's mm-hmm. local, you know, buy local. And I'm going to be profiled in that Mama Toga. The calendar will be profiled in the Mama Toga magazine.
Neat.
Which should come out like any day now.
Now, that's 2020 magazine or calendar, not 2019, right?
2020, yeah. Yep. And I hope to. This is the first one that I've done. So I hope to do one every year.
Well, that's good.
Because it's very hard to choose just 12 photographs.
Oh, I know. But that's the beauty of having the yearly calendar is to, you have 12 more
really
the next
highlight.
Year.
And I know? Think I very pointedly chose photographs that you're not seeing everywhere. I mean, we've all seen the jockey statues. I have interest. I mean, yes, I have them in my stock file. But I didn't choose that. I mean, we've all seen. I tried to choose images that real Saratogians see, not just the tourist stuff.
Sure. Well, can you talk about some of the articles, like the out-of-the-way places that people would want to see that...
Probably the most popular spot is Grant's Cottage. I try to take people up there every summer, and that's open from May to October. And surprisingly, a lot of local people have never been up to Grant's Cottage. I think it's a neat little place up at Mount McGregor. And it's easy to get to. It's 15 minutes from downtown Saratoga at exit 16. So that's a fun place.
Now, like on your Saratoga Field Day, I mean, you did a lot. Can you remember about some of the things? Because I tell you, the articles are really great.
Thank you. Saratoga Field Day is primarily local stuff. It was just primarily politics. I wanted to do just politics right before the election. Now we're going to move on to something else.
Okay.
I am highlighting, you know, local businesses like Palette Cafe. There's another workspace cafe that's opening up at 3 Franklin Street very soon. So I'm going to write about different stuff. And if anybody has a new business idea and you need some free press or whatever, you know, they can always email me at muldoonmedia@yahoo.com. I'm happy to write about local businesses and new people and things like that. I'm happy to do it.
Okay. 3 Franklin, is that down on the south part of Franklin or the north towards Division?
That is a good question. I believe it is... I should know this.
Well, no.
Maybe I need more coffee.
I just...
3 Franklin, I believe, is right on...
I hope it's down south because, boy, I'll tell you, the part near Division Street.
The Division in Clinton, yeah.
I think there was a crash
there the other day.
Well, they should have one side of the street parking on there. That's not wide enough for two sides because...
Yeah, it's a very congested area.
You should try to get down there with a school bus.
Yikes.
I mean, if another car is coming the other way, I tell you, it's accidents to the way to be happening.
Yeah.
One of the things that... your writing, I mean, in honesty, you can tell the difference between your early writing and your writing today. It's so much better today. I mean,
thank you.
You get to the point and the heart of your interviews that, you know, I...
Well, I think the difference between myself and mainstream media is I have the luxury of time. I'm on my own deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of reporters, and I sympathize with them because a lot of reporters have to go to a meeting and then they have to go home and finish. Mm-hmm. They have to, you know, write the article from start to finish because it's going to be in the next day's paper.
Well, unless you're a reporter for the Saratogian, then you got 3 days to get your article ready and get it in the paper, and by then, I mean, 15 other things have happened, and you may get it within 3 weeks, but no, I'm pretty upset with the Saratogian newspaper. I was very disappointed in their coverage of the political season this year. They seem to focus on one one's half of one side of the elections this year, and I got a hold of that Frances Grinnell, I think her name is, and kind of told her that I don't understand why she's doing this. I mean, she's slighting one and a half sides of the political parties in Saratoga, and I never heard back from her, and I wrote the editor and the publisher, and they never got back to me
right,
either.
That doesn't surprise me. When I was writing for mainstream media, I had one editor, who I will not name, had a list of things that I was not allowed to write about.
Yeah.
So, mercifully, those days are over for me. I write what I want to write. Mm-hmm. And I have the luxury of time. And I think a lot of reporters are up against editors that say, you know, that are basically killing the story or they're squashing the story. And you see this happening at the national level, this whole Amy Robach. Have you seen that clip from Project Veritas?
No.
The Amy Robach story. I mean, she had the Jeffrey Epstein story 3 years ago,
yeah.
But they didn't let her do it. So that's a huge story.
Right.
And it's not going away.
Now I understand.
Not going away.
Yeah, they got her off camera and
her on a hot mic. And I think that happens a lot more than people think.
Well, you know, in that case, I wondered if they did air her story, if how many more girls could have been spared what he did to them or what his friends did to him.
Well, I think the most fascinating thing about the Jeffrey Epstein story is not just the conspiracy theorists that are talking about Jeffrey. It's the non-conspiracy theorists that are talking about Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, clearly, he didn't kill himself.
Well,
I think that everybody is on the
so.
Same page with that. And it's just corrupt from top to bottom.
Yeah. Hey, if you want got a question or you want us to talk about anything, give us a call at 518-580-5783. And that's 518-580-5783. You're listening to WSPN 91.1 on the FM side of the radio. And we also are streaming. And so there, how about that? And we're at Skidmore Radio. And there's a lot of things that some political sides, but even in the mainstream media that they just want you to know, and others they just won't bring it up because they don't want you to know some things.
Right.
And,
like there's the story right now, the city engineer, former city engineer Tim Wales.
Yes.
Totally railroaded out of a job.
Well, you know, he was on paid leave from spring until last week. When Thursday he was terminated. No, Thursday he was given a warning and Friday he was terminated. Now he's been on paid leave, hasn't been in City Hall since spring.
Well, the timing is obviously suspicious.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know.
And they weren't going to do it. They were not going to publicize it before the election because it would have put the kibosh on Skip's re-election.
Right. Well, we did have Tim coming in before the election, but he probably will be a guest on the election now. And I think he's being, the way I understand it, and I could be wrong, but, he grew up and was for Skip's opponent. So Skip put him on leave. Now, Skip, everybody knows, is the Commissioner of Public Works who was reelected last week or this week. Holy mackerel. Seems like a lifetime ago. All the gardens of political signs have been removed from city streets. And I'll tell you, that's a relief. You know, that they should outlaw those.
It's a nuisance.
It is a nuisance. And it is so ugly. And people put signs up where they're not supposed to, and then if they're taken down, they accuse the other side of taking them down. And
yeah, it gets really petty after a while.
Oh my gosh, and the money they spend on those things. I don't know. Excuse me. Get your word out in the news, advertising, social media, give speeches, but those political signs have to go. I honestly don't know if they even work. I mean,
well, it's interesting that you say that. It's.
Well, would you make up your mind from a lawn sign?
I wouldn't, but I think many people do. I think
really?
A lot of people don't follow politics, and maybe they will vote for the person that they see the most signs. I would imagine that people do actually vote that way. I mean, I don't, and you don't.
No.
But, you know, I think a lot, you know, lowest, almost this, according to the Saratoga Today, Tom Demopoulos was saying that this particular election was the second lowest turnout in about 10 years.
I was very surprised on that. 2 years ago, well, you know, Charter was on the ballot two
right.
years ago during a citywide election also, because we elect our officials every 2 years instead of every 4 years. So that's another problem I see in our city politics here. 2 years is not a long time, long enough time to get some long-term projects done. Plus, you have to raise money every other year, which takes away from the job you're supposed to do, especially in Saratoga, where you're doing an administrative job and a legislative job. I mean, I'm very surprised they never went to 4 years. But the citizens always wanted a fast way to get rid of a politician if they didn't like them after 2 years. So that's the thing you always hear. You know, we want to be able to remove them. And sometimes that's not a great thing to do. But, yeah, I don't know. Lawn signs to me are just a nuisance. You know, you read about the candidate, you go to their debates. And
well, I also think the every 2 year thing is really inefficient, really ineffective, and that's just time-consuming. And
well, sure. I mean, I don't know. But that's my opinion and your opinion. So did you work the...
I did. I worked as an election inspector at District 12, and we had a pretty decent turnout.
That's great.
You know, considering that there was early voting. I participated in the early voting. I wanted
you did.
To see what it was, and I thought it was a great idea. I went up to the county building of 50 West High Street on Sunday prior to the election, and there wasn't that many people there. I got right in, didn't have to wait. And
now, will they have statistics on how many people did early voting?
That's a good question. I would imagine that they would have those in this week's paper somewhere.
I mean, it would be interesting to know how many people did early voting.
Well, when I scanned my ballot in the scanner, there was three different scanners there at the county building. On the one that I scanned my ballot in, I was the 410th voter.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, just on that machine.
Just on that machine, and I didn't.
Wow.
I didn't see that. You know, I know that there was two others there, but I didn't see the numbers on those.
You know, that may cut down on absentee ballots because people going. Because I think you could start voting like in October, the middle of October.
Well, the absentee ballots. We went over this in the class because this year everybody signed up on an iPad. You know, when you came in, instead of signing in the book,
right.
You signed on an iPad.
Yeah,
so
you
I had
did
to take
that.
The class, and that's one of the ways that they are trying to deter people voting twice, because people would vote the absentee and then they would show up to vote. So this will tell you on the iPad whether the person has voted already
okay.
or not. So they're trying to deter, because there's voter fraud on both sides.
Oh,
it's not
yeah.
just Democrats. It's not just Republicans. There's always somebody that wants to vote often.
Well,
early
hey,
and often.
Mayor Daley in Chicago, that was the thing. Vote early, vote often. And so many people got up from the cemetery to vote
yeah.
that it wasn't. But,
I
voted
pets.
On the, I signed on the iPad, and while I was there, they had a little disturbance because some lady came in to vote, and they couldn't find her name. And they said, are you registered? And she said, no, but I moved here to Saratoga. And they said, well, you have to register. And she said, well, I shouldn't have to. I was registered where I voted, and I moved. I would live in New York State.
Right. A lot of people don't understand how the process works.
No.
We always have a few people come in that say, gee, I don't know if I'm registered, but I want to vote.
Yeah, she made a big deal of it, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know.
I'm sure. There's a lot of drama
yeah.
sometimes.
So I was talking
places.
With one of the, I don't know what you call it, that there's a Democrat and Republican there. If there's a problem, the mm-hmm. people at the table go to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Bob, who's a friend of mine, and they came over, and I don't know, the fella said, I don't see why she can't vote. And Bob said, well, is she registered? And he said, no. And he said, well, she can't vote. She's got to register. So he said to the lady, you know, you can go down the county building tomorrow and or even today and register to vote. He said, unfortunately, you can't vote in this election, but, you know, the next election you can. And she walked out in a huff. But I'm sure you put up with a lot of different things. There was one older lady that didn't know how to sign the iPad, and she wanted to sign the book. And they said, no, you have to sign the iPad. Just on that line, just sign your name with that pen that you have. So,
yeah. Yep.
You know, all the little things that pop up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have to know all these things because you have to know how to answer people in a nice way rather than...
Well, a lot of times, if we don't know the answer to something or they're not happy with the answer that we gave them, we just call the Board of Elections and sort of redirect them.
Yeah. I think that's neat. You know, I would love a job in the Board of Elections. You know, you have to work one day a year or sometimes two if there's a primary.
I'm sure they work more than that. Right?
I don't know. I tell you. But, well, that's good. One of the things that I was surprised about was that the council approved the charter initiative from 2 years ago to be on the ballot again next year. And that's interesting because three of the people on the council were very opposed to changing the form of government, but they voted to have it on the ballot. And I give them credit for that. And I sent an email to each of the council people thanking them because... Scott Johnson, the previous mayor, and I used to go head-to-head when we wanted to get the charter initiative on the ballot. I think it was 2012. And the council wouldn't let it on, so we had to get the signatures, and we ended up getting it on the ballot. But I went up every council meeting, and I would go up, and I'd say, "You're stifling the people's rights to vote." And he'd look at me and he'd say, "No, I'm not, Rick. I'm trying to do the best for every citizen in Saratoga." And I said, "But the only way you can do that is to let everybody vote on it. And you're either going to vote yes or no." I said, so anyway, I kept doing it and I was driving him crazy. And so he, you know, we'd always say hi to each other and that. And he came up to me this year at the track and we got talking. My gosh, we talked for about 20 minutes. I did keep my eye on my area, though. And he said, "You know, you were right back then." He said, "I really should have put that on." And he says, "I hope, you know, going forward that they will do this." It was neat to get a person's take like 6 years after, you know. But I think you get a different perspective when you're in office and then when you're out again. And I think that's the drive that keeps people running for office. I talked with a friend of mine who used to be the accounts commissioner, and he said, "You know, when you're in office, you walk on the street, people you don't know say, 'Hello, hello, Mr. So-and-so,' or 'Hello, Miss So-and-so.'" And he said, "Everybody wants to know you." He said, "The day after you lost the election," or I shouldn't say lost, because you came in second. Nobody loses in an election. I mean, you ran for it, and you have to give everybody credit for that. But after you came in second, he said, "You walk the streets, nobody even knows you anymore. You know, they ask you out for coffee, and
people are very fickle."
Yeah,
they're very fickle.
Matter of fact, he says, "You're probably one of the only five people that ask me to have coffee. You know, on a day off, you call me and say, 'Hey, you want to meet for coffee?'" And people are fickle, and I mean,
they're all about themselves.
That's
when you can
right.
write a good story about them, they're your best friend. And the second, you know, it's done, they don't even acknowledge you.
Right.
It happens
a lot
to reporters,
of
too. It happens all the time.
Only when they need you.
Yep.
One of the things, and that has to be a double-edged sword for people that are in politics, because it is nice to get that people coming up to you and saying hello every time, even they don't care about the issues. They know you from, you know, paper or going to a council meeting, which I don't know, you have to be one of eight people to do that. But one of the things, we get eight people at our council meeting, so you know, you can tell how the citizens are really care about things that are happening in the city, you know. Although you can watch it online now, and it'd be interesting to get figures off of that to see how many people really watch it online or watch it after the meetings. You can go to a website and watch any past council meetings. But I wish citizens did take more interest in what's going on locally.
Yeah, there's not very many people that show up to city council meetings, and that's disappointing.
Because I always say, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican in any race, because you vote for the person you think is going to do the best job. But that's more so in a local election. If you don't, the days of voting straight line, I think, are gone.
I agree. Yeah.
I think there's older people that still feel that way because they were brought up
that
way.
There's very few rank and file Democrats or Republicans anymore, mm-hmm. where it used to be very, you know, very partisan.
Right. Well, look at Saratoga. I mean, the county is still very Republican, and the city of Saratoga Springs, just like the city I grew up.
Well, now there's more registered Democrats in Saratoga Springs than
now there are.
Yeah,
for the in history, this is the first time in history. But
so, are we going to talk about election results?
Yeah, I just want to get rid of this idea that I'm talking about before I forget it. But you know, when you had partisan voters, you know, Saratoga Springs, I mean, the county's Republican, although it's getting more and more, you know, the Democrat enrollment's getting higher. As I was very surprised, I don't belong to any political party. I'm an independent or no party. And I was surprised to see that in Saratoga, there's 4,000 registered as no party. And that surprises me because there's only, I think, 9,000.
Because I think people are disgusted with both parties.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm currently with no party, but I always vote.
Right.
I have voted consistently since I've been 18. So I think a lot of people, they would, it's very unwise to assume that people with no party are not, you know, consistent voters. That would be wrong to assume that.
Well, yeah. But I mean, what I'm saying is that when I grew up in Gloversville, when I was a young lad, it was majority Republican. I mean, you had to be Republican to get a job, the same way in Saratoga.
Yes.
I mean, my brother-in-law told me when he was in high school, if he wanted to work the track, you had to go to the Republican chairperson, and it was either John Ruin or I can't think of his name right now. He just passed away last year. But in any case, you had to go to them and you had to promise that you would register Republican and you would vote Republican, and you had to do it. So even if you didn't believe in that, you had to register that. So I don't know. It's all screwy. So we'll take this caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, it's Robin Dalton calling. How are you?
Hey, Robin. Congratulations.
Hey, Robin.
Thanks. Listen, I'm sitting here thinking, listening to you guys talking about these 8 people coming to the city council meeting, and it kind of bums me out because I'm thinking the last couple city council meetings I went to, I mean, they were packed to the gills. We had people overflowing into the hallway.
I know. But, you know, Robin, I think that happens probably 15 times a year, and I think they're one of the reasons why you probably had some pretty important issues to talk about. Plus, it was an election season. But I've been to a lot of council meetings, and unless there's a special thing going on that people want to use their 2 minutes for, it's not really not that many people there. And I think a lot of people watch it online. But there's a lot of apathy in Saratoga.
I disagree. I think we have one of the most engaged communities around. I mean, look at every single time someone has a forum here, they're packed to the gills. We had, I went to 4 different debates. We had, I don't know, I would disagree. I just think we have a lot of passion here. I think we have a lot of energy here, and I think we have a lot of engagement across the board.
Well, you know what? I know Nancy probably has a take on this, but I just want to say, I mean, we talk a lot back and forth, and, you know, a lot, and sometimes we go at it and sometimes we talk, but the thing is we talk, and you're very good at that, I have to say. Yeah, you listen very well, and we engage in a lot of positive things. But as you said, I mean, it was an election year. People attend meetings because they have strong feelings. I think one of the big things this year was the Democratic Party problem, and also the Republicans backing a lot of the, or not a lot, but the Republicans backing Democratic candidates this year that they didn't put anybody up for election for. And
well, you know, I agree. And I think, but I think, you know, there's something about if you have somebody who's doing a job well, mm-hmm. and people perceive them to be doing a job well, you know, what's the point in putting somebody up who you know is going to lose or you know you can't support wholeheartedly? And so I think that when the Republicans looked at the Commissioner of Finance and they looked at the mayor, they mm-hmm. thought that they were doing a good job. And I have to give them credit for saying that because, you know, it wasn't about partisan politics. It was really about who could be effective in getting the job done. And they felt those two people were getting the job done well. You know?
Oh, I agree. But, you know, and I we can talk over coffee. I don't want to belabor the point. But here, yeah, I know. Here you had the Republican Party backing a Democratic mayor. They didn't even back the Republican person that ran. So
well, the Republican person that ran came out swinging against the Republicans quite a bit this election season. I mean, he didn't do himself any favors.
Well, but I don't think you have to. I mean, if he's speaking the truth and he sees, because I'll tell you something. I was going to talk about this with Nancy. I don't feel there's a Republican Party in Saratoga anymore. Republicans will back Democrats. Republicans do not challenge. That's why I'm glad you stepped up. Republicans usually don't challenge people. Before this year, how many people ran against Michelle Madigan or against John Frank or against Skip Scirocco? Now, he's Republican, but parties don't seem to run candidates. And,
but you know what I think it is, Rick?
What's that?
I think we have a new Democratic Party, and I think we have a new Republican Party.
Yeah.
And neither, you know, we're all trying to feel out what those mean right now. Because this was such a transitional year.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know. But I think the one that came out of this stronger was the Democratic Party. Because they really, I mean, with that schism, they got rid of some dead weight. And they became, I mean, they even say it, and you can tell, they became a stronger party. I mean, look.
So they might have become a stronger party, but every single one of their candidates lost.
Well, I know. But I have a take on that, and I used to say it on Facebook all the time. I think there's a reason why. And I believe that it takes money to win an election. And that's just how I feel. And you can tell, I mean, the people, and look, I'm glad you won. Don't get me wrong. But the people that won raised the most money. And,
let's not sugarcoat it, though. Tim Holmes put in $22,000 of his own money.
Patty own
Morrison
money.
Patty Morrison raised $20,000.
Right.
Kendall Hicks raised $10,000.
Right.
These are not minor amounts of money.
But, no, but going against $40,000, $45,000, and the contributors. Now, you said Tim Holmes. Now, Tim's money came from himself. He didn't get money.
Know.
He didn't get money. And it takes money to go against money. And if you can't raise the money...
I also think that, you know, you got to take a second and step back and think that perhaps the community supports the people they think are the best candidates with their wallets. And, you know, not every candidate is going to raise a ton of money because maybe that's a reflection of how the community feels about them.
Well, but you know something? I don't know, Robin. We'll have to have this discussion off the air.
Yes,
and when you're
I
on,
hijack this conversation.
And when
sorry,
you're
Nancy.
And when you're on again, because I promised I'd have you on every couple months to tell us what's going on in the Department of Public Safety. We can talk about issues and stuff. I mean, the election's over. Yeah, election's over. Congratulations on winning, and you know, give it a good go. I know you'll work
Thank
hard.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Robin.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Rick.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robin. Bye, bye.
Well, Robin does make some interesting points.
Yeah.
That I think what she's saying, and I do agree with her, the people that are very fervently into politics mm-hmm. are almost like rabidly political. But you and I are discussing that in terms of the entire community. There are so many that still do not participate in the political process. But yes, I understand what Robin is saying. The people that are community-minded mm-hmm. are 100%, giving it 100%. But it's the same people over and over, just as this, it's the same people attending the city council meetings, and it might be 20 regular people. And like you said, when there's some unusual issue, then you have more people showing up to city council meetings. But like you said, it's rare. Like, remember when that tempered by memory sculpture was going in, and they were going to try to put it in front of the visitor center? I mean, you never saw so many people in City Hall. They had people out in the hallway. You couldn't even move. And I remember sitting there in City Hall, turning to the person next to me saying, "You see all these people in here?" And the person said, "Yeah." I said, "They have never set foot in this building before. They will never set foot in this building again. You will never see these people again." And
well, even the casino issue. I mean, the people opposed to it even bought red shirts.
I do recall and that. Yeah, that was a huge meeting also.
And
they had to have it in the music hall. They had to have it in the music hall because
the city council meeting can't hold that many, or the council room. And, I mean, they would put people outside. There were so many people. And for those who may be listening that don't care about city politics, Robin Dalton was elected commissioner of
I'm anxious
safety.
To talk about the results because I think Robin Dalton ran an awesome campaign. She's very savvy at social media.
Yep.
She did everything right. She called back every single reporter. She talked to every single reporter.
She's a good person.
She's a real go-getter. She's clearly ambitious. She did everything right. And I think that anybody who is interested in running for office might want to study what Robin Dalton did step by step because she did everything right. She did, there was one candidate that didn't even, and not everybody wants to call reporters back. I get that. But if you're going to run for office, at the very least, you should call them back, even if it's to say, "Thanks for calling, but I'm not interested." And that's all you have to say. Thanks, but no thanks. I had one candidate. He didn't win. And his opponent got my vote only because she called me back. And sometimes that's all it takes, because not only are reporters giving you free publicity, we also vote. So you might want to keep that in mind,
Well, I love talking to Robin because our conversation start out with a cup of coffee and then go into about two thermoses of coffee and we're still talking and she's great to talk to because we respect each other's opinions.
Well, and let's talk about her opponent too. Her opponent, in spite of being smeared, I was very disappointed at the smear campaign that the Republicans were doing to Kendall Hicks because he had pretty good numbers. I mean, in spite of everything, it was the most exciting contest in this year's election. There's no question about that. The Dalton Hicks contest was the most exciting. It was historical.
Well, I think
20 years ago, and I wrote this on Saratoga Field Day, 20 years ago, you could not have been running if you were not from Saratoga. Okay, Robin is from New York City. Kendall's from Virginia. Even 20 years ago, this would not have been possible in Saratoga Springs, New York.
Well, we have that. We have that in charter. I'm involved in charter. And I'll tell you, you should see city council meetings when charter's going. You talk about people being there. But you can't get – I always said that the reason why we keep getting the numbers closer and closer is because we have more people moving into Saratoga that know how other forms of government work. And that the old – guard in Saratoga, the day of the strong, as we were talking about the strong chairman, party chairman, those days are kind of pretty well over. I mean, it's, Republican would never imagine voting for a Democrat. Now, like you said before, there's very few people that do that.
And
usually it's older people that have been that way all their life, and it's hard to change for them, and change is hard.
Right.
Same way with the changing the form of government. I mean, people that are long, 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 long time Saratogians that were born and brought up here, it's hard for them to accept that there is another form of government that may work better. They have their opinion that it doesn't work better, and that's their opinion. You can't take that away from somebody. And when you see things, it's funny how you can look at the same thing and say one thing is bad and one thing is good. But that's how people react. And
right.
I'm glad for it.
I think the other thing, too, is that like I only voted in three categories. And a lot of people, that's another question that people have. Do I have to vote in every category? And no, you don't. If you don't know who the candidates are, like for, you know, Supreme Court or whoever, if there's a particular category you're not familiar with any candidate, you don't have to vote in that category.
Yeah, but see, I always felt that by not voting in a category, you're voting for someone that you may not want. I think a empty vote is a vote for someone that you may not want. And I always felt that way. I always felt that in a two-way race or three-way race, it might be different. And I'm not even sure in that anymore. But I don't know. I just think that you should vote. I give everybody credit for running. And that's why I don't say there's any losers. I think you came in second. And you got to give people that run a lot of credit. And, you know, I know 500 votes in a city is a lot. And, you know, congratulations to Mayor Kelly. I think she was the biggest winner. I think she got 60, 65%.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. She really beat Tim. But I think the other ones were, the gap wasn't.
Tim Holmes just didn't come across as being, I hate to say that you have to be exciting when you run for office, but I think that there's a certain level of where you have to have some kind of personality or you're just going to fade into the background. And I really felt, I mean, I'm not saying that Tim Holmes is not a nice man. I've heard consistently that he's a good guy, but you got to have a little personality to run.
But, yeah, but I'll tell you something. When we had Tim on the show, I had never met him before. And
he had
an amazing resume that I don't think people even went to check on him about, to tell you the truth. Because if they did, I think the vote would have been a lot closer.
Well,
I mean, you
Rick,
can tell.
You gotta think,
I don't.
Though, social media has really changed the game. If you're not on social media, if you're not a personality, you're just going to fade into the background.
He had a big presence on social media. He did a lot of advertising on there. I maintain, now this is my opinion, and I am wrong, but I maintain that people, it's very hard to beat an incumbent, all right? Very, very hard to beat an incumbent. And I think that people just didn't look into Tim. They said, well, Meg's doing a good job, and she is. I'm not saying she's doing a bad job for Saratoga, but Tim's resume was awesome. I mean, if you read his
essay. Well, I'm not disputing that, but there's a lot of people that look good on paper.
No, but you can. I'll tell you what, you don't do what he did by not knowing what you're doing. I'll tell you that. I don't know if you looked at his resume and saw what his
experience was. I did. I mean, he has an interesting bio, but he just didn't come across as being, quite frankly, approachable. You know, Robin comes across as being very approachable.
I know, but she does. And Robin's very easy to talk to. I'm not saying that. You know, I mean, she's a great person, and I'm not upset that she won. I am not upset that she won. She's a good person.
I'm looking forward to seeing what she accomplishes.
And she'll be there. I know that. But what I'm saying is that you can be the smartest person in the world and not have an effervescence and outgoing and smiley all the time and happy. That doesn't mean you're going to do a good job. I mean, I have no doubt that Tim would be as good a mayor as Meg Kelly.
I agree,
and
but
make
what I'm
some
saying,
changes.
Rick, is that the internet and Facebook in particular have really changed the game, and unless you can really come across as being someone who is approachable, and again, I'm not saying he's not a nice person,
I'm disagreeing heavily with you there because I don't know if you've ever.
Well, we still need to get to the Dylan Moran.
Yeah,
contest.
Yeah. All right, let's go with Dylan Moran.
Okay, that was probably the biggest exciting race next to the Dalton Hicks contest, and I'm disappointed that Dylan lost. I was really rooting for him because there is a lot of shady stuff going on in the Department of Public Works that is, quite frankly, illegal. And I think that voters are going to any. I think a lot of voters that voted for Skip are going to be quite surprised when some information comes out in the next couple of weeks about, you know, the timing of this Tim Holmes thing. Tim Wales, excuse
right,
Tim me,
Wales.
Tim Wales. I think they're going to be quite surprised and disappointed that they did not vote for Dylan. I think Dylan would have really changed the game on the city council. And
well,
I
here,
think
you know, I mean,
it's the city's loss, actually.
Well, I think so. Skip had one thing that I don't even think people care about. There's two things in Saratoga that I've heard since I've been here that people care about two things. You turn your water on and it comes out and you rake your leaves into the road and they're picked up. And other than that, people that are that don't care about politics don't care about anything
else.
And
when they turn on their light switch, they turn on their light switch, turn on their water, and have their
right.
leaves raked.
And I'm
up,
not
which,
saying
which makes
that,
it sound like we're a bunch of shallow people, but Saratogians are not shallow. But yes, I understand what you mean.
Right, and I agree with Robin. There's a lot of people that are engaged in politics, and out of a city of 28,000, I would hope that there would be a few people, quite a bit of people, that would be interested. I mean, one thing we have in Saratoga is a very active citizen involvement in everything. I mean, what made Saratoga great was three exits off of the Northway, and then that spurred a lot of citizen involvement in doing the city, making the city what it is now, along with businesses and within some extent City Hall. But it was the citizens that really took an active part in businesses that took an active part in rebuilding Saratoga. And, you know, and every I always say to people that I think the largest reason why Saratoga was transformed back to what it is today was because of the Northway exits. And you can look from Albany all the way up to the Northway, look at the exits and look at the growth in the areas. I mean, you got Clifton Park, you've got Colony, you've got Saratoga, you have Wilton, Queensbury. I mean, anything off of the Northway really bloomed. But then it took the people, if they were interested in being part of that growth, which they were in Saratoga. And then you had your politicians had to be in sync with that, and they were. So there's different categories that make up a thriving community, and they all have to work together. And hopefully that, you know, we'll continue to do that, even with decisive races. But Dylan ran a great campaign. But one of the things that I think about that
and
race
thought,
that
well,
people...
Well, I thought the debate... I thought he debated really well, and then he was sort of... I don't know. Something happened where he was accused of saying something untoward towards, you know, somebody, which I didn't think was true. I mean, I was there, and
yeah.
I didn't get that.
Well, you're going to get a spin.
I thought that it was... Yeah, right. There always has to be a spin.
And I mean, right. It's like the city employees are very good, and I really hope that...
Well, who do you think coached Scirocco? I mean, Scirocco is definitely coached. Whoever coached him, I mean, A+. Well done.
Well, I think it was one of the people that ran with him, actually. But in any case, not even on the same political party. But in any case, I think I'm just hoping that we can find money in the budget because we need more police officers. We need more. We're going to need more firemen now with the East Side mm-hmm. Station. And we need more DPW workers. I mean, we need more than one crew going around.
We definitely need some new workers because there's a lot of those workers just go through the motions. But I mean, there's some really good ones and there's some really
bad ones. But one thing that really stood out to me in poor management was Commissioner Scirocco's son was arrested for DWI, and it took a year, but it finally was disposed. They took his license away. They didn't hire a person to drive him around, but someone in the department had to drive him around to his job. And one of the things I found just wrong with that whole situation was the fact that his father kept control of that all the way through, and that should have been turned over to HR because there was a clear conflict of interest there.
Right.
And if it was turned over to HR, I think people could have had a better taste in their mouth about it. But obviously, it wasn't a big election thing. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. Do people know and see what's going on, or do they vote for the person that has the most personality and is a Saratogian from birth, which Dylan Moran was too.
Yeah, Dylan's also from Saratoga. And Dylan, I think, is qualified for the job, his background.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we had any unqualified
candidates. Well, and I think Dylan would have really rallied the troops in terms of he would not allow DPW workers just to drive around the block. And I think that the DPW workers were scared of that, that it was not going to be the way that it's been for 8 years or 10 years. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And that's something that I would like to see changed. Yeah. I think it was the biggest disappointment of this year's election.
Well, I honestly don't feel there's ever there was anybody that was unqualified to run for their seat. That's why I don't believe anybody lost. They came in second. I mean, everybody ran a good race, even if it was contentious. I mean, sometimes you have to be that way to answer back an opponent. I mean, you can't let people slam you all the time and just sit there and not say anything.
I agree.
And when you
I don't think he did anything wrong. I think they made much ado about nothing about his comment.
Yeah.
Oh, before I forget, someone had brought it to my attention that the Spirit of Life statue, the security lights are out. So somebody works for the city. Please get on it.
Call your commissioner of DPW, that would be Skip Scirocco.
Well, I would call, but I'd never get a call back. So.
And that's the only person you can call, unfortunately, in this form of government. So, plug for changing the form. Sorry about that, anybody out there who doesn't like it. But that's something that's been dear to my heart, and I can't help myself. As Robin knows, that that poor kid, I had her. We were talking for so long, I felt bad for her. Because both of us can't stop talking. That's the thing, you know? I mean, she
isn't
engaging.
Well, there's so much to talk about.
There is. And she'll talk about anything. One thing I always liked about Chris Mathiesen, that fella would be on the show every 3 months or so and talk about what was going on in public safety. And the guy wouldn't shy away from anything, even if it was controversial. And he took the opinion against everybody else.
What I liked most about Chris is he was approachable. He actually listened to people when they called him. He would return the call. He would actually think about what you were saying as you were talking. And I know that he's an honest man of integrity, and I really like that about him.
Well, the thing is, too, I think he was one of the only city officials, and I could be wrong. I know there was some before him, and I think Robin had said she was going to do this, and I hope she does, because my father was a councilman in the city I grew up in, and he would hold town hall meetings before the council meetings, you know, the night before or two nights before, and he engaged his ward people, and he used to get a good crowd there, and they talk about the things that were coming up at the council meeting and, you know, what their thoughts were. And Chris used to do that. I think he had Saturday hours for a couple hours on a Saturday. I think Ken Klotz did that also when he was mayor. But that's a good way to engage your citizens. And if they have a question to ask you out of the 2 minutes of City Hall or the city council meetings, or you know, if they can't get to you during the week because they work, you know, it's a good way to engage the city. And you are a citywide elected official, even though you only run one department. So really, anybody in the city can talk to you about problems, but she can help you out if I'm using Robin as an example now. She can direct you to where to go to talk to, you know, and then maybe mention something to that commissioner, but you know, that's what you hope you get is our commissioners that want to listen to the people outside of a council meeting and that are approachable when people aren't working. And I know I think she's promised to have meetings like that. So, you know, and I know John Frank has the tax a couple nights a week if you want to protest your taxes. I mean, he gives you the directions on how to do it, Which is
and he's
great.
Been doing that for a while.
Oh, I think since he got elected. Right. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good example of that. So, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens. It was a good election season. I personally think they go on too long because, like I said, too many street signs and election signs and, you know, people arguing about one thing or another. But I guess that's politics, really.
Yes.
So I want to kind of close, we got 4 minutes, with your website, if you'll give that out again.
Yep, it's saratogafieldday.com. If you have any news stories and you'd like me to either interview you or highlight your business that will be opening, you can email me at muldoonmedia@yahoo.com. It's M-U-L-D-O-O-N, media@yahoo.com. SaratogaFieldDay.com. If you want to get the inside Saratoga calendar for somebody, maybe somebody is from Saratoga, maybe they live out west now, you can go to Northshire Bookstore and get the 2020 Inside Saratoga calendar. It's also sold at the History Museum, and it will be sold soon at the Gideon Putnam Hotel gift shop.
Okay, and that makes a great Christmas gift.
Yep.
Holiday gift.
Yep. Buy local.
Birthday gift.
Supporting a local artist.
Supporting a local artist. Supporting getting our...
Did you know Suave Fair said no to me?
Suave Fair?
Suave Fair. And I actually emailed him saying, listen, you know, I certainly respect no, but I thought of all the places in Saratoga, I thought you would say yes because you're an art store. You know what I mean? I thought you would support local artists.
Well, so, I mean...
You know, whatever. And I don't say it out of malice. I just was a little taken aback.
Yeah. Well, hey, look. I mean, you know, things go good sometimes, and sometimes you get...
Well, I think Northshire Bookstore is the perfect place for it. It's right on Broadway, right in the center of town. So there it is. And you can also buy them privately if you're going to buy more than two. I'd give you the wholesale price and... You know, you can hit me up. Oh, it's going to be sold on Amazon, too.
Okay.
Amazon.
But if you want to contact Nancy other than her email, you can go to SaratogaFieldDay.com, and they do have a contact page. And again, before I put Polka Magic on, I want to thank everybody who ran for office this year. Congratulations to the winners, and thank you to the losers, to those who came in second, you're not losers. You're great people for wanting to run. And if you have a question, contact one of your commissioners. They'll direct you to where to go. And thanks again. And we'll see you next week. Wendy Libertor, Times Union reporter who covers Saratoga Springs and the county, will be our guest. So here we go, John. We're going to turn it over. Have a good weekend, everybody.